Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Happy Easter or happy Resurrection Day, as some would say about this beautiful, amazing Sunday morning. And I don't know about you, but I feel amazingly blessed to be alive and well on this day. I don't know about you, but I am so glad that he got up. I am so glad that before the foundation of the world, I was on his mind. I don't know about you, but I am so glad that Jesus paid the price for me. And because he lives, that's actually a song that I woke up with in my spirit this morning. And as I was in my kitchen cooking steak and eggs for breakfast, I was humming that tune and then singing out those verses. It brings back so many memories for me. Not only was it a hymn that we sang in church, I grew up in Kojic under the Pentecostal movement, but that was also a song that my Aunt Alicia sang, and she would sing it often when she came to visit our church. Aunt Alicia passed. This was my mother's, one of her older sisters. Aunt Alicia passed in 96, May of 96, a year before my mother would unexpectedly pass. Aunt Alicia died of colon cancer. And this woman went through a lot in her life, but I can still today hear her voice singing that song. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all of my fears are gone. And speaking of that, the intro is now gone, but I meant to say at the very, very beginning, I do not, oh Lord, I wish I did. I do not own the rights to that song. I played about a minute of a song by an artist who happens to also be a pastor, actually a bishop now, that I was blessed to hear live and in person before he even blew up and became the phenomenal Marvin Sapp that we know of today. I think I'm going to talk about that for just a few minutes in a minute, but the song is entitled You Shall Live. And I think that is such a prominent message for a day like today, or if you're like me, a season like you've had. I can actually say many seasons, but that message is just stirring up in me. You shall live. And then you have to make it personal. I shall live. And so I don't own the rights to the song. I just felt that it was a good message to play. Somebody needs to hear that. And that's actually the very first song and the very last song off of my personal, one of my personal playlists that I entitled I Shall Live. And I was rolling around in my truck yesterday, just out doing things, taking care of stuff, picking up stuff, just enjoying the day. I just said, you know what, let me just go ahead and listen to this. And I even pulled over for a while in a serene area before I even started my daily to-do list. And I just sat for about a half an hour and I was just sitting around kind of watching and observing people, listening to the words of the song. And I actually was pretty saddened because I saw a few examples of people out on the streets dealing with mental illness, people who should not even be on the streets. And one of them happens to be a girl that I know that used to live on my property some years ago, just a very sad, sad situation. And I just kind of whispered a prayer. And I was thinking to myself, man, I remember, especially growing up on the streets of Philadelphia, I remember when trucks used to be out and they had, you know, mental health and awareness was a big thing back then. And they actually used to have wagons and stuff, or sometimes the police would come and pick people up off the streets when they were, you know, acting erratic and things like that. But today people are just allowed to walk and live among us as if they're normal and they don't need help. And I don't understand it. But anyway, so I sat for a while and I was listening to the words of this song and so many other songs that talk about living. That's a message that I, like David, I encourage myself in the Lord. I don't need anybody to encourage me. I'm encouraged on this Easter Sunday morning, not only because my Savior rose, but because I also rose, because that was a message that the enemy had been trying to send to me and even my seed for years. You will not live. And he's done all kinds of things to try to destroy me, but yet I'm still alive. Thank you, Jesus. Yet I'm still alive and doing well. And so I'm here today, just briefly, because I have a day planned. I have some awesome things planned, an awesome meal planned for this day. We're going to do a little something a little different today. I've started cooking. It's kind of like my mother. She's been going since 97. But my mom always prepared a small dinner at home, even if we were going out. If we weren't going out, she prepared a large dinner and we'd feast off of it probably all week, the four of us. But I decided to still, you know, I didn't do turkey and ham and all of that. I just did an oven roaster and a corned beef brisket, and I made some stuffing, I'll do some sides and veggies, and I baked some brownie muffins and some chocolate brownie ice cream by Stony Brook. I've been looking for this ice cream for years, but anyway, that's a sidebar. And so I'm definitely going to enjoy my day. I'm going to enjoy my meal and enjoy my time with family and friends, and I'm going to get out and soak up some of this beautiful weather for a few hours. And we have some things planned this evening, but I did not want this day to get by without me signing on to my platform and making my voice heard. There are many people out there today that are suffering, that are hurting, that are still dealing with grief and illness. And me, myself, I'm still experiencing some health challenges. I had to visit my dermatologist last week. I'm 53. I've never in my life had to go and see a dermatologist, never had any skin conditions or anything like that. And it's not too bad. But I said about, I guess, 4 months or so ago, the emergency room physician talked me into getting an MRI with contrast. That's where they release that dye in your system and you feel all that stuff going underneath. Well, I had an allergic reaction that kind of broke me out. And so I've been dealing with that. And so now I have all of these prescribed ointments and creams and, you know, things like that. But I thank God, you know, that it is available and it could be worse. And so I've been dealing with a lot for years, and I'm excited now because even though I'm still technically in the storm or in the fire, and I'm still dealing with some things that I'd rather not be, I get up every day and I'm so grateful and I'm so thankful to God, and I don't let it stop me. I'm in my 50s. I still move around like I'm in my 20s. I'm still being mistaken for a much younger woman. I had sent my aunt some picture. She's in Jersey. And we've been talking and communicating a lot lately. She just recently lost her husband, not even really 2 months ago. And she's doing very well. You know, that's the cloth that I come from, a long line of strong women. This is on my dad's side. And I had sent her some recent pictures. And she said, "Steph, you look like a teenager." My son said, "I told you." My son's always saying, "You look like you're in your 20s. But then when we go out, people keep mirroring it. They're like, "You're what? You don't even look. You don't even look." Man told me the other day at the gym, he said, you know, he was asking me why I was sitting on the bench. He said, "Come on, get to work." He's an older gentleman. And I said, "Yeah, I honestly don't feel like working out this morning." I said, I hadn't had a lot of sleep up throughout the night. I said, "But I just came to sit in the environment for a little bit because I know myself. Even if I don't feel like working out, just sitting there, just being in that atmosphere, watching everyone, you know, they say birds of a feather flock together." I said, "I will get up and work out," which I did about a half an hour later. But we fell into a conversation and he said to me, he said, "You look like you're about 30. He said, "You're not even nearly 30. And I cracked up laughing. I said, "Sir, I'm 53. He said, "You gotta be kidding me." So I'm grateful that I don't look like, I love that song when Dion, my namesake and my son's name and my beautiful cousin Tracy's name was Dion. She passed a few years ago, but he wrote a song entitled, or he sings a song, I don't know if he wrote it, it's called "I Don't Look Like What I've Been Through." And so on this Easter Sunday, on this Resurrection Sunday, I'm happy, I'm grateful, I'm not focusing. The enemy wants you to focus on what has happened, what has gone wrong, who has done this, who hasn't done that. I have people in my life that have totally done things contrary to what I ever thought that they would do. And yet I'm still alive. Yet I'm still here. Yet I'm still going on. Yeah, I remember certain things, but I'm not allowing that to hold me back. I get up every day and I keep it moving. I don't know about you, but I keep it moving because I came to understand, even through the grief, even through the hurt, the pain, the losses, the setback, the depression, the, you know, the terrible losses that I suffered weren't actually things or people who are still here. It was the death of my only sibling, my brother, who was killed at the age of 19, and that just was allowed to rest. I had so many unsettling things surrounding his death that even all of these years later, I was 21. All of these years later, it's still unsettling, but I had no choice but to let it go because I wasn't the parent. I was just, you know, I was just a sister. And so there are things that I've had to press on and move past and still endure the pain, still endure the hurt. I sat in deep grief and confusion for many years. And then a few years later, not even 5 years later, my mother died of an aneurysm. And then there were all types of deaths spiraling around. And, you know, it cracked me up because whenever I would kind of go through the long list of, well, this happened, this, and my husband would always say, yeah, I know. Yeah, I understand. I know you've been through all of that, but it's like, you know, you just, like, I'm supposed to just get over it or it doesn't matter. And I'm like, yeah, you can feel that way because you haven't really been through a lot. And the things that you've been through haven't really affected you that way. It's different for women. You know, he lost his brother years ago, but he, you know, through illness, not through murder or anything like that. And then he still has two older siblings. And, you know, my mother died at 41. I was 26. I'm 53. He had his parents and around the corner from his parents all the way up until a few years ago, his parents lived to their 80s. So of course, when people don't go through or experience what you do, their perception and their outlook is a lot different. But so I've had to carry on and endure these things. And yeah, sometimes I'm only talking to people who are there or who have been there and understand. Sometimes you can go through things that nearly take you out of here. The grief can be so bad. I'm not talking about relationships. I hear people, I see people on, you know, YouTube and Facebook and other platforms, and I read some of their comments, and they're talking about, oh, when my boyfriend broke up with me, it felt like I would die. And I just be like, I'm not trying to be insensitive, but I'm like, seriously? Like, really? Is that bad? I didn't want to go on. Or guys talk about, yeah, my girlfriend broke my heart and I haven't been able to move on and I couldn't get up out of bed. I'm like, that's just a person on this earth, man. You could get yourself together. You can always get someone else. You know, I've experienced a divorce, you know, in my early years. We were young. We got married. A lot of dysfunction there. We were in our 20s and we were young, and come on, you live, you learn, you grow. Hopefully some people don't grow through things, but that's another topic. You grow and you move on. And so many years later, I remarried, but life goes on. I've never met a person or ever been involved in a relationship or with a person that I've ever felt. That's why I stopped singing certain songs. I don't even really listen to like R&B like that anymore. But when I used to really listen to like Mary J. Blige, Toni Braxton, you know, songs like that. Toni has this song that she wrote, I Shall Never Breathe Again. I've never felt that way about a person. To me, real loss is, as I was sharing with my Aunt Jackie, when a loved one of yours, especially someone that you're close to, really dies, not really dies, but dies, I think that's really a loss. I don't see a divorce or a breakup. And again, this is my personal opinion, my personal feelings, my personal platform. So I do have a right to express my opinions. I don't think that that's a loss. You know, you can see that person again. They may not want to see you, or you may not want to see them. You can talk to that person. They may block you. I'm good for that. I got a lot of people blocked out of my phone and have been for years. I've changed my number and not given people, even some relatives, my number. Okay? That season is over. And it was actually confirmed. One person, you know, usually in certain seasons of my life, the Lord will give me a song or a message or a voice to listen to, or sometimes even my own stuff. I have a load of songs and podcasts and books and all of that kind of stuff. So I had been praying and singing, you know, who is the voice? Because I turn off everything. I'm like, I don't want to just hear anything or anyone. You know what I'm going through. And there are specific things that I need to hear in this season. And for some reason, he gave me a voice in this hour that I haven't really heard or listened to in years. And it's kind of funny because This pastor has been under a lot of controversy for the last several months. And I don't follow this stuff. I've seen some and I've heard some. You know, I pray for people and keep it moving because nobody really knows but God. But it's Bishop T.D. Jakes. I used to listen to him in early years, but more than listen to his messages, I used to read his books. I didn't listen to a whole lot of his sermons. And I came across a series called A Moment with T.D. Jakes. And I was like, you know what? Let me check this out. Boy, I've been getting fed off those messages. They're all mixed up. You know, there's a lot of dates. There were earlier dates, some before COVID, some of them when he was young, starting out in ministry. And I'm the type of person, I know how to chew the meat and spit the bones. I'm not saying that everything is relevant to me or even that I agree with everything that's being said or that I hear, but I know how to let the Spirit of the Lord minister to me. And that man and those messages, I thank God for him. I pray for him and I pray for his family and his ministry and whatever is going on. I say, look, that's between him and God and his wife. That's the only person who needs to be worrying about what's going on. You know, people don't know what's going on behind closed doors. And I'm married. and believe you me, people don't know. They don't know. But what I'm glad about is that God knows. I'm going to say that. But so I've been getting strength from hearing those messages. And I can't say that I've heard them all because I've listened to quite a few. Sometimes I'll put it on at night if I'm up and I'll fall asleep and wake up and they're still playing. And so I get to hear bits and pieces. Sometimes I put it on when I'm cooking or I'm cleaning. And, you know, I just thank God for his love and his care. You know, what Jesus did on Calvary all those years, more than 2,000 years ago, it was because God cared for us. Somebody needs to know that. I know that. No one can convince me any differently. God so loved, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe on him is whosoever. It's not just the church. It's not just, you know, all the righteous. It's not just all the upstanding, the elite, the royal. Whosoever is that man on the street, whosoever is all of those people, those hurt, lost, wounded people that I rode past on yesterday that I said a prayer for. God, these people, these are your people. They need help. I looked at this girl that I can barely recognize that I used to live among. I gave the girl some things through the years. And the last thing I gave her was some puzzles. And today, I can barely recognize her. She asked for some puzzles because I was trying to give some puzzles to a kid on our property. And she said, oh, I would like them. But they were kind of like for boys. And I told her, I said, I'll go out and buy you some. And I did. And she told me that meant the world to her. And she said, I can't put them together until I get a place or get in a comfortable space. And I'm seeing her today and she's worse off than she was. And my heart just, it's like, God, what gives? Jesus died for her and he doesn't see her any differently than he sees me or you or anybody else. He so loved the world that he gave himself. Jesus offered himself a perfect sacrifice for you and for me so that on this day he knew where we would be. He knew that I would be sitting here. He knew all that I would go through. He saw it all. But because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I don't know about you, but I get strength and encouragement every single day to face my day, not always knowing what is coming. I know the enemy is working. You see, I don't even talk about him. I don't even focus on him. I know my God and I know who has me. And the word of God says the weapon may form. I've had many weapons formed against me. They have not prospered. I have some weapons that are being forged now. And what I love about God is he will take those same weapons that the enemy is using against you and give them to you and allow you to use it. And you come out of that fire like pure sparkling gold. That's what my gram said to me. One of the last things she told me in 1998 before she passed, you're going to come through. She said, you're going to go through some more things. She said, but hallelujah, I see you and you're coming forth as beautiful, sparkling, pure gold. I have held on to those words. And yes, I'm just about to come through. I don't know about you, but I'm so grateful that he lives today. And I hope that you enjoy your day. I hope you enjoy your week. This is going to be a busy week ahead for me. I'm trying to do everything that I need to do and still trying to keep up with a loaded real estate course. And it gets weary sometimes. It gets tiring sometimes. But because he lives, because the Bible says that same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is at work in me, I can keep on going despite what's going on around me. And so every day I make it a goal. Every day I'm going to enjoy myself. I'm going to get up and move because it's in him that I live, I move, I have my being. Satan has people around like Joseph. They thought Joseph was dead. Just because you did all of these things and you tried to get rid of Joseph because, you know, you were jealous and you were jealous about the dreams and trying to stop his dreams, doesn't mean he's dead. So God hid Joseph and kept him in obscurity while he did some things in him. And then at the set time, he raised him up and he was, you know, he was in a palace. Most of you know the story. That's about where I am now. Just about to come out. And I give God all the glory. My story will be out, but I give God all the glory because there's nothing that I've done of myself. I can't keep myself. He keeps his hands on me. It's because he lives. I can face tomorrow. And I faced all kind of things that people thought I would not bounce back or spring back from. But I know the power of my God, and it's because he lives. And so I'm going to end that. But I wanted to come back full force and end this on a really, really high note, because I love Marvin Sapp. I really do. And I respect him, not just because of his celebrity or his fame or his status or anything like that. If you've ever really heard Marvin Sapp, you'll know that he's a far better or greater, I say more anointed preacher than he would ever be of a singer. I've heard him say in person, I'm not just a singer. I'm a preacher who happens to sing. Well, that man is so anointed. We set up in that auditorium. He came to Christian Tabernacle in the 90s, brought there by a guy who's, I was on his community choir at the time, George Pratt, who died some years ago. The choir was Rhythm and Praise. And he asked me if I was coming back. And at this time, I lived all the way in Upper Darby, and I was on the bus. And I said, what's going on? He said, yeah, Marvin Sapp is coming. I said, who? Marvin Sapp from Commission. I said, well, I know Commission, but I know Fred Hammond. I don't know Marvin. He said, you're not going to want to miss tonight. So I pressed my way. I went on back home, cooked, did some things, and then came back in the evening. I was so glad I did. And why it's a bittersweet memory for me, my mother was alive. And when I came, she saw me. She and my dad were sitting on the first few rows. He was a deacon. She was a deaconess. So they had assigned seats. And when she turned and saw me, she told me to come up and sit with her. And I did. And so he sang, boy, my gosh, he sang and filled that auditorium. I always say that. The auditorium was just filled with his voice, and I'm sitting there and I can see it so clear. He was so anointed. The music was so powerful. You could hear a pin drop. Nobody was cheering and clapping. Like, I was just like blown away. And then he preached and he gave his testimony. He talked about the drugs and all of this kind of stuff that he sings about in his songs. He preached about, and he talked about how low he went and how the Lord brought him up, and how at that time, even though he was starting to be noticed for his, you know, for his singing with the group, he was with Commission at the time, he was still carrying his pastor's briefcase and cutting his pastor's lawn and taking care of his, you know, his pastor's church while the Lord was raising him up. He was being humble. And man, that service was so amazing. I went back. I had to go back. And then we were out in the parking lot when it ended. I don't know if he was there 2 or 3 days, but when it ended, he was by himself. And a guy named Daryl picked him up at the airport and was, you know, kind of taking him around. And we were out in the parking lot when he came out, and he just said, hey, how y'all doing? You know, God bless. And we're like, oh, great sermon. He was so humble and so meek. And, you know, he got in the car and he was like, y'all stay with Jesus and, you know, whatever. And then he went on to blow up from there. And Pratt, what we called him, Pratt gave me an autographed picture of him. And I started buying his music from that point. Now, this was, mind you, in 97. I didn't know a few months later my mother would just suddenly leave here. And guess what helped me outside of God and his grace? The only thing I could seem to listen to was Marvin Sapp's CD, Reign, Jesus, Reign. I would put that CD on repeat. And those songs ministered to me days when I didn't feel like getting out of the bed. I had to get out of the bed because I still had to, you know, take care of my children. I had a family. And, you know, I would listen to my grandmother, who died the next year, 98. She said, "You better back that CD up because you're going to wear that CD out." And she was laughing. Boy, I kept that CD for years, and I would put those songs on, and I would cry, and I would cry, and I would cry and cry some more. And I wasn't just crying for my mother. I was still crying for my brother. I was crying for my Aunt Alicia. I was crying, just crying buckets of tears. My Aunt Donna, who died in 89, I was just mourning my loved ones. These are people that I was close to, that I grew up under. Aunt Donna, who used to plait my hair and fix my hair when my mother twisted, you know, did my ponytails crooked and fed us and put iodine on my cut when I cut my foot in a pool. And we went to her house in the morning for school, and she would pray for us, you know, before we went to school. We go around and pick up her kids and all walk to school together. You know, these are people I grew up under. Aunt Shirley, who kept me all the time. Like, I was really in a deep, dark mourning my loved ones. And I had a good friend at that time. Unfortunately, our friendship didn't last, but Carmel, we grew up together. We grew up in the same church. At the age of 12, we met. And she would come and get me and say, "You're not staying in the house. Come on. It's time for you to go ahead and get your license." Because I had been procrastinating, just kept renewing my learner's permit. And she's like, you're going to parallel park and you're going to get your license. Come on, kids, get ready. And she piled us up in the car and said, "Come on, we're going here. We're going to the grocery store." She wouldn't let me stay home and brood and you know, be sorrowful. Oh, I thank God for those seasons, you know. But it was Marvin Sapp's music. Nothing affected me more than his music in those seasons of my life. I wore that CD out. I wore it out. And then I don't have those CDs anymore. But what I do have saved on my phone is the playlist that has all of those songs. I was listening to them the other day. I'm not in that same place. I'm still going through some things. But I thank God, because I can look back and remember those times. And so he's very, very, very powerfully anointed. Yes, I pray for him. He lost his wife, Melinda. He was so close to her. Pratt told me that whatever city, whenever he traveled and his wife wasn't with him, he'd always bring her back a pair of shoes. So I'm sure Melinda had a closet full. She probably just needed a closet just for her shoes, you know. But he's mourned the loss of his wife while still having to raise his children. And, you know, yet he still goes on. He's still going on to climb in the ministry. The ministry still lives. And I'm not even surprised about it, because I can actually say I was blessed to see that man sort of at not the very, very beginning, but the beginning, before all of the hype, before all of the fame, before he became a household name. And the man can preach. He can preach, okay? And he can sing. And I was like, "My God, he sounds just like he sounds on the record." Like, my goodness. So I've been a serious, serious Marvin Sapp aficionado since the 90s. And I will always love and appreciate, you know, his ministry. And so I wanted to leave it on that note. Listen, I gotta go. I have some things to do. But I really just pray that something I said helps you. It's not for everyone, but I do this for the one or the few or the many that this may be for. And if you don't remember anything else that I said in these almost 35 minutes, just remember that he lives. Jesus lives. He lives. He's not in a grave anymore. He lives. And because of that, we can live. You be blessed.